Well, you can have a seat, get your Bible, and go with me to 1 Samuel. We're going to start out tonight in 1 Samuel chapter number 4. I want to talk to you about a subject called the power of remembering. The power of remembering. You'll see as we go through 1 Samuel in this story about what it means to remember. And there is a power in remembering that we're going to see, but we've got to focus on the right things, focus in the right areas. 1 Samuel chapter number 4, starting in verse number 1. And the story that leads up to where we're going tonight is actually one we are very familiar with. Let's read it together. We're very familiar with this story. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse number 1. And I'm going to start in the second part of that verse because it says the word of Samuel came to all Israel. But I'm going to start here. Now, Israel went out to battle against the Philistines and encamped beside Ebenezer. Everybody say Ebenezer. Okay, we're going to talk about Ebenezer tonight. And it says, and the Philistines encamped in Aphek. Then the Philistines put themselves in battle array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was defeated by the Philistines, who killed about 4,000 men of the army in the field. Verse number 3. And when the people had come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, why has the Lord defeated us today before the Philistines? Let us bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from Shiloh to us, that when it comes among us, it may save us from the hand of our enemies. Now stop right there and look up at me for a second. You might be thinking to yourself, Pastor Dan, I have never read this story before in my entire life. I have never seen it on the flannel board when I was a little kid. I remember Jonah. I remember Moses. I remember Abraham. I remember all that stuff, but for some reason, I don't remember 1 Samuel chapter number 4, verse number 1 through 3. How come you said that it's a very familiar story? Well, here's the reason why it's very familiar, is because it's not talking about just a historical thing that happened in Israel. It's talking about you, and it's talking about me. Let me explain. In the Bible, whenever you see stories, whenever you see history, whenever you see something that's been saved for thousands of years, it's not for you and I just to know or just to have that knowledge, that mental acknowledgement of that thing. This is not about a history lesson. This is about you and I finding out what the will of the Lord is for our lives, finding out what God is speaking to us today. And God is saying to you and I that this story is not just a story. It's not just about the children of Israel at the time. This is about us. This is about our lives. This is something that happens to us all the time. Israel represents you and I. We are Christians. We are now a part of the nation of Israel by faith in Jesus Christ. We become the children of Abraham, right? And so we go, and now we are a part of the nation of Israel. And there is an enemy that's out there. There is things that come against our life. There are battles that take place. We are in the middle of a war. Now, here's the part that sometimes we don't recognize, is that sometimes we mess up. We may lose a battle here and there. Now listen, ultimately we know that we have the victory in Christ Jesus, but let's not deny the fact that we live in flesh bodies, that we make poor decisions sometimes, and that we just have battles that sometimes we fail. Things happen. Now this is where it gets a little hairy. It's verse number 3. It says, and when the people had come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, why has the Lord defeated us today before the Philistines? Now I think they're asking the wrong question. God didn't defeat them before the Philistines. Something was going wrong. Now if you back up into 1 Samuel, you'll find out that there was sin in the camp. That here was the high priest and his sons were perverting the house of the Lord. And the high priest didn't stop him, and therefore God said, hey, your family is going to fall. And had prophesied this to the high priest, and now this is what's coming to pass because of the sin that's in the camp. And so they're asking the wrong question, not why did the Lord defeat us, what's going on in our lives? What's going on in the nation? And rather than pray and seek God and find out what God would have them to do, look at what they do. They make a decision on their own. In fact, they default to the religious answer, which oftentimes you and I do. Oh, I had a failure. I had something go on. I'm in the middle of a battle. Something isn't working out the way that I want it to work. And so what do we do? I need to pray harder. And so we tell God what it is that we want, right? I need to go to church more. And so we show up and we attend church, but there's no heart behind it. We're just trying to do our thing so that God will move on our behalf. Oh, I need to memorize the scripture. I need to do something, you know? And we go throughout these religious experiences rather than press in and ask God and find out what God would have us to do. Find out what's going on in the heart. Look at what they do. It says, let us bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from Shiloh to us, that when it comes among us, it may save us from the hand of our enemies. Now, wait a second. They want to say that the Lord defeated them, but the ark's going to save them. God defeated them, but our religious tradition's going to save us. You see, this is a very familiar story to you and I, isn't it? Oftentimes we say, I don't know why God's mad at me, so my religious tradition's going to save me. Rather than pressing into the face of God and getting a fresh word from God and saying, God, I don't know what's going on. God, just check me out. Reveal to me what's going on in my heart. Lord, if there's any wickedness inside of me, any sin, anything that needs to be revealed, God, let's get it out in the open. Let's deal with it, Lord, so that we can move on and have the victories once again. Rather than leaning back on our religious tradition. The story goes on. We don't have time to get into all of it, but they end up taking the ark with them, and they're shouting, and the Philistines are shaking, right? And they're saying, oh my goodness, the Lord is among them, right? And so the Philistines actually take courage, and they defeat Israel again, and this time they take the ark. And through a series of events, the ark, God, number one, will not be used as a religious tradition. It's not about the wood and the gold and all that in a box that contains things, but rather it's about the God of those things and the covenant God had with his people through those things. So in one hands they failed, but in another hands they failed too, because the Philistines captured them. They end up having, you know, outbreaks of rats and boils and all this other stuff that happens to them. So finally they get that thing out of the land of Philistine and they send it back to Israel. And the ark just sits there. And the people are just kind of doing nothing for 2 decades, for 20 years. Let's pick up the story in 1 Samuel chapter number 7. You're there in 1 Samuel chapter 4. Turn a couple pages over to 1 Samuel chapter number 7. Ark has finally returned to Israel. It's finally stopped in a certain place. They got someone to take care of it. 1 Samuel chapter number 7. Verse number 2 says, so it was that the ark remained in Kirjath-Jearim a long time. It was there 20 years. And all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. See, they're still crying to God. They're still feeling sorry for themselves. They're still saying, God, I don't know why this is going. I don't know why nothing worked. I mean, the ark is back. They should have been celebrating. They should have been rejoicing. And yet all this stuff that's been taking place has caused them to mourn and to lament. Now that's okay, because the Bible says that godly sorrow brings about repentance, which leads us into eternal life. See, we don't sorrow as the world sorrows. We don't stay sorry in that broke down, busted, and disgusted sorrow. Oh, I'm just a sinner. I'm just a welch. I'm nothing. I'll never be anything. God hates me and all this kind of foolishness. That's not how we lament. No, when we start to sorrow and we start to mourn and we start to seek the Lord and our hearts turn to God, now God has us in a place he can deal with us. The Bible says the sacrifices of God are a broken and contrite spirit. God is after us just being there, available for him. He is the potter, we're the clay. God, I'm going to be movable. I want to be pliable in your hands, God. You mold me, you make me however you want me. They lamented after the Lord, verse 3. Then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, if you return to the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths from among you, and prepare your hearts for the Lord and serve him only. He will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. What did he just say? He said, you remember, you repent, and you return. That's just basically that simple. We see this again in the book of Revelation. Remember, repent, and return. It's a simple little thing that when you remember God, there's a power in your remembering. Remember the covenant God had. Remember that Jesus Christ died for your sins. Remember that if you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive you. You remember, and then what do? You repent. You change your mind. You change your direction. You say, you know what? I was headed this way with this mind frame. Now I'm going to head back to God with a godly mind frame, and you return to the Lord. What does he say? He says, if you do that, he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. You'll be in a place of victory once again. Verse number 4, so the children of Israel put away the Baals and the Ashtoreths and served the Lord only. See, they had already had their hearts captured by sin, and because of that, the ark was captured by the Philistines. And they thought that it was a religious tradition, if we just bring the ark, it will save us. But it wasn't about the ark, it was about their hearts. So now here we see them repenting of sin and doing what they need to do. They get rid of the Baals and they get rid of the Ashtoreths, foreign gods, little g, and they serve the Lord only. Verse 5, and Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you. Verse 6, so they gathered together at Mizpah, drew water, and poured it out before the Lord. That was a symbol of their brokenness before God. They just poured that water out before the Lord. Just poured it on out. Look at what it says. They gathered together, drew water, poured it out before the Lord, and they fasted that day and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. See, they confessed their sin. The moment they did that, God was working on their behalf. The moment that they started to remember, they repented and they returned to the Lord. Now, all of a sudden, God is there working on their behalf, because the Bible says, if you confess your sin, God is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. They said there, we have sinned against the Lord, and Samuel judged the children of Israel at Mizpah. Verse 7, now when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel had gathered together at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel, and when the children of Israel heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines. Verse number 8, so the children of Israel said to Samuel, do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines. Notice it's no longer about the ark. They've gotten off of their religion. They've gotten off of their own traditions. They've gotten off of what they thought would work in the past. And now they say, no, we're going to bypass it, the ark, even though it represents something beautiful and something great, something eternal in the heavens. But we aren't going to go just by religion. No, pray to the Lord for us. Go before God. Get in the face of God. We've repented, and now we want to get to the one who can actually take care of the situation. Verse number 9, and Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. Then Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. How did he answer him? Verse number 10, now as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day, and so confused them that they were overcome before Israel. That's how God answered. See, once the sacrifice was made and it went up before the Lord, the answer from the Lord came on their behalf. And it was God thundering, God confusing the camp of the enemy. But notice Israel had a part in this too. Look at what they did. It says that they were overcome before Israel. See, Israel went out and they fought the same battle in the same place with the same enemy. And now this time they had a victory. Even though two times before they were defeated twice in this place, twice by the same people, now all of a sudden they have the victory. What's the difference? Because they remembered, they repented, they returned. That is the power of remembering. Now let's read on. Verse number 11, and the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and drove them back as far as below Beth Kar. Verse number 12, then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen and called its name Ebenezer. Everybody say Ebenezer. You remember that word? We said it before. See, in the place where they had been defeated before, now the name is going to take a change. Whereas before it was associated with defeat, before it was associated with regret, before it was associated with confusion and chaos and lament and mourning, now it's associated with victory. Now it's associated with something great. Now it's associated with their God. Why? Because God showed up. God did something great. God used us in a mighty way. God won a victory on our behalf. God did this. Even though we went out and fought the battle, it wouldn't have done anything unless God was on our side. Now all of a sudden he sets up a stone, calls its name Ebenezer, stone of help, saying, thus far the Lord has helped us. Now anybody who goes by that place, when they walk by that place, they see that stone and they're going to remember that God had won a victory. They're going to remember that Ebenezer was a place where they were defeated twice by their enemies, but now Ebenezer is a place of victory. They're going to remember. And the people that don't know, there's going to be a testimony for them. What is that rock about? What is that sitting there? Why is that set up that way? Oh, here's why. Let me tell you a story. Let me tell you about what God did. Let me tell you about the victory that was won. Oh yeah, there were some battles. Oh yeah, there were some losses. Oh yeah, we were mourning, we were lamenting. But listen, when God got involved, when our hearts were right and we remembered God and we did it God's way, God showed up and God did great things. There is a power of remembering. You and I in our life have to remember our God. Have to remember who we are in Christ. Have to remember the battles that have been won on our behalf. Have to remember the past victories and remember that God is with us. Remembering God, remembering His covenant, His promises, and who we are in Him. See, this battle was won. This third battle, it was won before they ever stepped out on the battlefield. You know why it was won? Because they remembered. They remembered God. They remembered God's covenant. They remembered that they needed to confess their sin. They remembered that God would be on their side. They remember. That's the power that you and I have when we remember, when we set these things in stone. See, it's good for you and I to remember stuff. It's good for you and I. My wife and I were just talking today about some battles. You know, we're in the middle. It seems like always we're in the middle of a battle. I mean, that's just part of the Christian life. You're in the middle of a war. And my wife and I were talking about our current situation, and we were talking about some different issues. And all of a sudden, as we're talking, she's, you know, I told her, I said, man, I went to prayer. I went to town on this thing. I was shouting to God, shouting at the devil. I mean, I was just going after it. And she says, that's so good, you know. And all of a sudden, she says, remember when the kids were little and this happened? And we prayed and we broke that thing and this. And do you remember? And all of a sudden, what's she doing? She's rehearsing the victories. All of a sudden, what's she doing? She's bringing things to my remembrance. And you know what's happening on the inside of me? Faith. Faith is rising. Why? Because, hey, God did it there. God did it there. God did it there. God did it there. And God's going to do it here. That's what this is about. There's a power when you and I remember for today and for our future. A remembrance set in stone. See, there was a stone that was set up, a stone of help that was given, an Ebenezer that was raised up. And it was a remembrance. So for you and I tonight, a remembrance set in stone does a couple things for us. When we remember, when we bring these things up in our thinking, when we talk about them to one another, to your husband, to your wife, to your kids, to your faith-filled friends, even to the people that aren't that faith-filled, when you start talking about, you know, the Bible says that we ourselves get refreshed when we tell somebody about Jesus. Why? Because we acknowledge every good thing that we have in Him. Man, when you start to testify, when you start to witness, all of a sudden, man, you walk out of there just like ready to just smack the devil, ready to just go and save the world. Why? Because all of a sudden you start to realize, man, we've had some victories. The Lord has been by my side. God hasn't let me down. The word of God is true. My God is good. And listen, you can have Him too. All of a sudden you start to get filled up. A remembrance set in stone does a couple things for us. Number one tonight, it reminds us of what God has done. Remembrance set in stone, number one, reminds us of what God has done. You know, I like to sometimes go through old journals. I like to sometimes go through and remember things. I like to write things down. I've got every day that my kids were born, I've got that written down in a journal. Sometimes I go back and I read how I was feeling and what I was praying for and the different things like that. You know, here at this church, we sometimes, as we're coming up on events like we are this week, we'll take a look back and we'll see what we did in the past. We'll bring up old pictures and things like that. And what happens? You start to see what God has done. And you start to see the track record, the faithfulness of God. You start to see the hand of God moving. Sometimes in the middle of it, you didn't see what God was doing. And you said, my goodness, I was so confused. I was so worried. I was so anxious. But God was moving. God was working it out in the background. God was behind the scenes doing His thing. And then on the day of, man, God showed up and bam, He did something. Did something great. Did something wonderful. Remembering what God has done for us. Listen, He died for us. Remember that. That's why Jesus said, I want you to receive communion, and as often as you do it in remembrance of me, of what I've done. Remember the victory at the cross. Remember that He forgave us. Remember that He freed us. Do you remember how you used to be? Do you remember that old poor soul that was headed for hell? Do you remember how much stuff you were involved in, you were doing, what you were headed for, and how you were so confused? And you remember that God saved you. God cleaned you up. God delivered you. God got you out of that old stuff. God got you out of the mess, made it your message. And now, my goodness, look at you now. Look at you now. See, it reminds us of what God has done. God freed us. The list goes on and on and on. Personally, for everybody in this room, all of us could remember monuments along the way, road posts and markers where we could say, God showed up. God did this amazing thing in my family. God did something great in my heart here. God delivered me. God did all this stuff. It reminds us of what God has done, and it builds faith in our hearts. You're there in 1 Samuel. Let's go to the New Testament. Keep your finger there in 1 Samuel. We'll come back to 1 Samuel 7, so keep a finger or a ribbon or some sort of marker there. And go with me to the book of 2 Peter. Towards the end of the Bible, you'll find 2 Peter. If you hit Revelation or maps, turn around and come back. 2 Peter, after Hebrews. You all know where Hebrews is if you're here on Sunday mornings. Just keep going a couple books past Hebrews, and you'll find 1 Peter, then 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter number 3. Second Peter chapter number 3. We're going to read verse number 1. Second Peter chapter 3 verse 1 says this. It says, Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which, okay, so what he's saying is he said, I'm writing you a letter, and then he acknowledges that he wrote a previous letter too. So he says, the purpose of why I'm writing to you both of these letters is this. In both of which, I stir up your pure minds, how? By way of reminder. I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder. What is he saying? He's saying that sometimes we need to be reminded that Jesus Christ is Lord. Why? Because other things will come and tell us that he's not. Other things will come and tell us that they are. In fact, even our flesh sometimes will come and tell us, I am Lord. You will do what I say. You will go and you will eat everything in the refrigerator. You will go and you will argue with your husband or wife. You will go and you will do this sin that you haven't done in years for no apparent reason other than I said so. See, the flesh wants to rise up and to lord over you and to master you. And yet the Bible says that we need to be reminded. No, I've been delivered from that junk. No, I'm going to live peaceably in my family. No, Jesus is Lord. See, we gotta stir ourselves up. We can't get lethargic and apathetic and just kind of slump down. See, if you float through life, you're gonna get tossed about every which way. There's wind, there's waves, there's all sorts of things trying to get you off track. And if you just allow yourself to float with the current, you're gonna end up somewhere you don't wanna be. Find yourself doing things you don't wanna do. And that's why we remind ourselves, no, I'm not going to go do that. No, Jesus is my Lord. No, I've been delivered from that junk. No, I'm going to stay pure in my mind. I'm going to govern my thinking. I'm going to govern my attitudes. I'm not going to allow myself to become this grumpy person or this angry person or this depressed or melancholy person. See, we have the joy of the Lord. We've got the love of God flowing through us. We have to remind ourselves of these things. We got to remind ourselves that I am blessed with every heavenly blessing in Christ Jesus. I've got them all. All the gifts of the fruit of the Spirit, all of that God has available to me is mine. We've got to remind ourselves of these things. Why? Because if we forget, we'll stop and an attack will come. Notice, turn back with me to 1 Samuel chapter 7. Notice something. Let's be wise, church. Notice that the enemy was dormant 20 years while Israel was dormant. Why? Because if they're not doing nothing, we're not doing nothing. If they're just going to sit down, shut up, and be quiet, we've got no issue, we'll do our thing. But the moment they gather together to seek the Lord, what happens? 1 Samuel 7:7, take a look at it. It says, Now when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel had gathered together at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. Wait a second. You haven't done anything for 20 years. For 2 decades, they've had the ark, and the ark kicked your butts. So much so that you sent it away. And now you've got a problem? Why? Because now they're seeking the Lord. See, the enemy will come and attack you the moment you start to remember. Why? Because when you start to remember, then you start to repent. And when you start to repent, then you start to return. And when you return, then you tap into the power of God, and now you've got the victory. But if the devil can keep you dumb, keep you forgetful, and keep you apathetic, he's got no problems. He would love for you to show up to church, be brain dead, and be ineffective as a Christian. If he can keep you just cathartic, just in that state, oh, you think you're okay with God, you're fine, you're paying your penance, you're doing your religious thing. If he can keep you there, he's happy. But the moment you start to remember and you start to get yourself together, there's an attack coming. It's just how it works. But even though an attack is just the beginning, when you remember the Lord, you also know that the victory is already won. Doesn't matter. Hey, listen, devil, bring your worst. You're already defeated. It's not going to work. It's not going to happen. See, because when my God gets on the scene, he changes the scene. Take a look at what Samuel does. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse number 9. And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. Then Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. What happened? He takes a lamb, and he sacrifices it, and he burns it as a burnt offering. The burnt offering meant the whole thing was consumed. Normally in the offerings, they would keep a portion for the priests, keep a portion for the people, and then they would have a portion that was burned up before the Lord. But in a burnt offering, the whole thing is just charred, and it's burnt up, and it's completely offered before the Lord. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is our burnt offering. He was given as a burnt offering. And they would carry the ashes of that burnt offering outside the camp, and then it relates that to Jesus, who was also crucified outside the camp. See, the moment that Samuel remembered and started to operate in the covenant of God, and not in the ark of the covenant, not in the religious tradition, but now out of a heartfelt cry to God, a repentant cry to God, now here he is, and he does God's will, he does it God's way, he offers that burnt offering, he cries out to the Lord responds. Look at the next verse. Verse number 10, now as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, that means he is still in the process. But listen, the moment that he got into the covenant way of the Lord, God remembered his covenant, and God showed up. What's he do? Shows up on their behalf, and he thunders. As Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day and so confused them that they were overcome before Israel. Powerful when you and I remember. Powerful when you and I remind ourselves of what God has done. When we see those signposts, when we see what God has done, when we look to the cross and we see Jesus lifted up for our sin. Now all of a sudden, whatever we're facing today, the devil, the sin, the world, it doesn't matter. It's defeated before Jesus Christ. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. Number one, a remembrance set in stone reminds us of what God has done. Number two, a remembrance set in stone will do something else. Number two, a remembrance set in stone holds us together today. Holds us together today. Remembering will hold us to the God who saves. It'll hold us together while we wait for the promises of God. See, sometimes we're waiting on God. See, this is a great story because as he's offering up and as he's doing this, but remember, there was 20 years that the children of Israel were sitting there lamenting before the Lord. They were waiting. And God was waiting. Why? Because God knew their hearts and knew they had to get into a position where they could repent and get back into fellowship and back into that covenant relationship, back into that communion with God, back into that covenant relationship. And so God was patiently waiting, and here they were, earthside patiently waiting, right, lamenting and mourning before the Lord. And you and I, sometimes there's times where we have to wait. I know we don't like that, especially in our American society. We want everything now. We want it our way. We want it 30 seconds or less, or it's free. We want to have it instantly. We've got to have it, you know, right now. This is just instant video, instant music, instant gratification, instant, 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 instant. And we get so frustrated when we pray to the Lord, and then we open our eyes, and it hasn't happened yet. And God says, no, not in your timing. Not in your religious formula, I pray, I believe, I receive, right? Even though that's a great formula. But God says, yes, that's the way it works in faith, but the manifestation of it may come later. And we don't like that. Can I tell you something? I don't like that. I wish I could boss God around and tell him what I want. And they would manifest right now, God, I want it now. Maybe if I pray louder, God will hear me more and go work faster, right? But God's not concerned with that. God's concerned with the heart. God's concerned with the development of the Christian. God is concerned with his timing. You see, God didn't even send Jesus the day after Adam sinned. It wasn't until the fullness of time that Jesus came on the scene. There were thousands of years in between Adam and Eve and Jesus Christ. Why did God wait so long? Why did God leave us in that state? Why? And yet God is saying, it's not about your timing, it's about my timing. And I'll bring it about in the fullness of time. And if you remember what I've done, if you remember who I am, if you remember, it'll hold you together. You won't worry. You won't wonder. You'll say, you know what? Yeah, bills are coming, but my God's on his way. Provision's coming in the name of Jesus. God hasn't left me out yet. God's not going to do it yet. My healing, I'm still waiting. God, it still hurts. I still feel sick, God. And yet, it's going to come to pass. It's going to manifest. Why? Because if Jesus can heal in the Bible, then he can heal today. And there's tons of people that you know who can testify and say, yeah, God healed me. God did this for me. God delivered me. Sometimes we say, why am I still dealing with this attack? Why? Because God is working on your behalf. Now, there could be a number of reasons, and obviously if there's sin in your heart, you need to deal with that. You need to remember that you need to repent and then return to the Lord. You need to go through that process with God and really work that out in your heart. That may be holding it up. But it may just be that the timing of the Lord isn't at hand yet. And so if you remember that God is good, if you remember that God is always in the perfect timing, like we heard this weekend, in the nick of time, I like that, then it'll hold you together, because God's not finished with any of us yet. God is moving, God is doing things, God is working on our behalf. It holds us on course for the future and keeps us going astray. We need something to anchor us. We need something to hold us to that place with God. Otherwise, just like I said, with the wind and the waves, we'll drift away. And it's such a casual, easy process. If you think about a boat on the shore without an anchor, right? It's just sitting there on the sand. When the tide comes in, it's a slow process. Oh, it might lift up the back at first, you know, just a couple times it lifts up. Then eventually it may slide down a couple feet. Just sit there, and after a while, it's just kind of bobbing there in the water and slowly drifting away. It's easy for us to drift away. And that's why we need something to hold on to. We need to remember, and that remembrance will keep us in a place with God. Once again, in 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse number 3, it says, then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, if you return to the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths from among you, and prepare your hearts for the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. Notice what he said. He said, if you remember, and you repent, and you return, then God's going to take care of your needs. And right then, right as the Philistines were coming up, right at the right timing, what happens? God thunders against them, and Israel runs and routs their enemies. My goodness. Right at the right time, right in the nick of time, at the appointed time, God is working on our behalf. In this remembrance, we remind the enemy that he has no claim to the territory that he's encroaching upon. He may have won a few battles in the past, but Christ's victory assures us the promise when? For today. So when we're in the middle of that battle, we remember, and what do we say? Hey, devil, you might have won a couple battles. I may have fallen in the past, but the righteous may fall 7 times, but he'll get back up again. And listen, in what we're dealing with right now, devil, I'm just letting you know, Jesus Christ already defeated you at the cross, and the book of Romans chapter 16 says that he will soon crush you under my feet. So you're not just reminding yourself. You can remind your family. You can remind your friends. You can remind the devil where he's headed. Tell him, go jump in a fiery lake, devil. Not coming around my house, not coming around my family, not coming around my kids, not coming around my finances. Why? Because Jesus whipped you. You've got to remind him of these things. Stir yourself up. Keep your finger there. And actually, you can just turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. And in Hebrews chapter number 6, we're going to go to verse number 19. Talking about remembering how it holds us together today. Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 19 says, "This hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, in which enters the presence behind the veil." Now, the imagery here is of in the temple where they had a big veil that separated the holy place where the priest could enter from the most holy place where the Ark of the Covenant was. Listen, it's not about the Ark of the Covenant. It's about the one whose presence is behind the veil. He is the one that makes that Ark holy. He is the one who made the covenant. And so we have this hope we have as an anchor for the soul. This holds us together. It holds us in that spot. It holds us secure. But look at what it says, both sure and steadfast. That means it's not going anywhere. Why? Because it's built on the promise of God. And God is immovable. He's unchanging. There is no shadow of turning with him, the Bible says. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And therefore, when you remember who your God is, when you remember what he's done, then you have this hope as an anchor for your soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil. You've got a secure future ahead of you. To bring us to the last thing, number three, a remembrance set in stone. Number one, reminds us of what God has done. Number two, holds us together for today. Number three, last thing for tonight. You guys okay?
Yeah.
All right, last thing for tonight. Number three, it gives us hope for the future. Gives us hope for the future. If God has done all this so far, what is God going to do in the future? Think about how amazing it is. Any story, any great story, think about it for a second. You guys have read books. You guys have watched movies. Any story, if the ending isn't spectacular, you're disappointed. Right? And some people talk about writing, and there's this climax, and then there's this, you know, all this, and that's all fine and dandy. But if it ends dumb, it's dumb. I'm sorry. It just ruined the movie. You know, the hero died, or the couple didn't get together in the end, or whatever it is, you know. I hate those movies. You know, it's like, why do you have to send me away depressed? Do you take pleasure in that? You know, what's going on here? I like the movie where the hero wins. I like the movie where the couple works it out and they get together. Yeah, boy lost girl, boy got girl back, and now they're back together and they're getting married, right? That's the story I want. Now, God is the ultimate. God is writing history. God is putting together a story throughout the ages that starts with creation. Oh my goodness. That in itself is wow. Then it goes to earth, which my goodness, how interesting, how climatic, how action-packed, how, I mean, you're moved, you laugh, you cry, it's got everything. So that means that when God comes in the end, the ending has got to be just the icing on the cake. It's got to be spectacular. It's got to be something only God could do. The end of the matter. God is saying, watch what I'm going to do in your life. The best is not behind us, church. The best is ahead of us. There are greater victories to be won in our life ahead of us. Listen, church, your best days are ahead. It doesn't matter where you've been. Don't allow your past to dictate to you your future. This is about us locking into God, and God will write the story. And he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Till the day of Christ Jesus. R. Steele said these Ebenezers, these rocks of hope, these remembrances are useful to the believer. They remind him of the dependence that he has on God and recall his confidence in the strength of God. They encourage him by the past to trust and not be afraid in all future trials. If God did it back then, God can do it today. Amen. As we remember the past victories and as we see where we're at today, we can look to the future and step out in faith knowing that God's going to back us, knowing God's going to do something great, knowing that God backs his word and God is faithful and true. Last verse for tonight, turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. Great couple of verses here. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 9. in verse number 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 9 and verse number 10 says this. It says, yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. See, Paul and his companions, they went through some trials. If you keep reading, you find out they were shipwrecked, they were snake bit, they were beaten up, they were stoned, they were left for dead, they were out in the cold, they were in the deep. All sorts of stuff happened to Paul. And he said they had the sentence of death in themselves. But he looked past the problem and looked to the one who promised and saw that God had something going on, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. See, the story's not over. It's not done until God says it's done. And God can take a dead situation and raise it up. Take a look at verse number 10. Who delivered us, there's the past, from so great a death, and does deliver us, there's the present, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. There's the future. God has got your past, your present, and your future all under control. But we have to remember that. We have to be reminded every day, God is good, God is faithful, God is true, God's working on my behalf, God's going to do great things, God's going to do amazing things. That's why it's good for us to talk to ourselves. See, sometimes you don't have anybody telling you this stuff, so you got to tell you this stuff. It's good for us to wake up every morning and rehearse the promises of God, to go back to your favorite Bible verse, to go back to the promises, to remember, to write things down, to make a big deal out of stuff, to celebrate things like your spiritual birthday. Man, I could tell you August 17th, I got born again when I was 15 years old, and I've never been the same ever since. Why? Because I want to remember that. I want to remember that God saved me from a life of sin and stain, and God took me out of hell, and he placed me in the kingdom of his dear son. We gotta remember. We gotta stir ourselves up. Tonight, a remembrance set in stone does some things. Number one, it reminds us of what God has done. Number two, it holds us together today. And number three, it gives us hope for the future. He who delivered and does deliver will deliver. We can look back, we can look beyond, or we can look up. In all these things, we see Jesus, our rock, our stone of help. If you got something from the word of the Lord tonight, come on, give God a great big praise. Woo! Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to ask all you guys to remain, put a couple more minutes, okay? Now listen, you didn't preach the message, so you're not sweating like I am, okay? So you can stay put a couple more minutes. We've got some things ahead of us. What do you say right now with joy? We bring our tithes and our offerings into the storehouse of God.